Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 22nd, 2012. And on this special edition of Mark and Friends, we have a guest on the phone lines with us. And in fact, at this point today, he will be in Nairobi, Africa, serving on a short-term missions trip experience. And we're going to talk with Dean in just a moment. But by way of introduction, I'm going to have you introduce our special guest, Jason. Jason, who you're familiar with, he joins me each and every Wednesday on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. He's been the co-host for a number of months. Well, he's going to introduce somebody that he knows a little better than me in just a moment. That will take place. But let me share a verse that's a special one for our guest, Dean, today. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you have memorized this verse. It's been quoted over the years by so many different people. It's just a favorite, and the truth that it contains is so helpful for all of us. But it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say it along with me, everyone. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Some versions, He will direct your paths. Great verse. That's the NIV version. That's a foundational verse for so many of us because of the truths and the precepts in it. But Dean, you know all about trusting in the Lord because you're relying on God to provide means for your family and your situation being in the short-term mission. But before I say much more, Pastor Jason, introduce this friend, this member of the Community Evangelical Free Church, to our radio listening family.
Yeah, I met Dean maybe a year ago. Well, it's almost about a year I've been at the church. And a year ago, one of my first days there, Dean's wife volunteers in the office. So I got a chance to sit down and just through those 2 days a week that she volunteers, get to know her when the boys would be there, because at the time she was homeschooling. So the boys would be in the office and I get to talk with them and get to interact. And they're crazy. They've got a ton of energy, but they've got a great heart and they're smart kids. And I go, boy, you know what? Smart kids with great hearts come from great parents. Mm. And then maybe like a week and a half or so into being at the church, I got a chance to sit down and talk with Dean during a missions meeting and that, and just hear his heart and hear his testimony. And I go, man, God, this is the real deal. And, you know, Dean had shared some of the struggles in terms of what it means to be in missions, you know, to raise support and to follow up and try and provide for his family while they're here at home on home, you know, not really home service. I mean, because he's providing everything that it takes to be here right now. And I go, man, the enemy is really running up against this one, because Dean has a calling on his life, and you know, God is making adjustments. And I've just been able over the year just watch. You know, you watch somebody and they validate the feelings that you have of their character and their integrity, of their passion, of their the mission that God has for them. I mean, over and over I watch Dean and Rhonda both, and I'd say both of them together, because there's no missionary that's just a single missionary. If they're married, they're in it together. In fact, the whole family. And they are, for the radio listening audience, the real deal. I mean, I would put my stamp on him, and I pray for him every day because I know that God has something he wants to do. And I'm wildly excited about Dean going on this trip, because I know that God has orchestrated and put all these pieces in place. I mean, it was about a month ago. No, boy, Dean, how long ago was it? Like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, we were in Peoria at that conference?
About 3 months ago.
Yeah, and I watched over the course of 2 days Dean sharing his heart at their booth for water missions and what it means to bring this basic ground level gift of God, clean water, so that you can live and grow things. And I watched Dean share his heart, and I just kept over and over again, and I can't emphasize this enough, I kept going, man, God, that's the real deal. And what an honor to share ministry with him. What an honor to pray for him. And what an honor just to journey alongside him and his family through the good, the bad, the struggles, where we lift up God and go, wow. And we broke bread a couple times. So I know that Dean likes to eat and I like to eat. So we do well together that way. But yeah, Dean, why don't you share maybe a little bit of your testimony? I'd love to hear.
Sure.
I'd love for you to share with folks the cave story.
Sure. Grew up in Rockford, Illinois, Northern Illinois, and got into geology. It's what I do, geology and hydrology, working with rocks and fluids in those rocks. Studied, went to school at Wheaton College, accepted the Lord when I was 7 years old at Vacation Bible School up in Rockford at Maywood Free Church, and studied geology at Wheaton College, and went down to University of Missouri, Rolla, studied engineering, geological engineering, graduated with a master's from there. Came down to, took a job in New Orleans with Shell Oil Company, and worked as a geological engineer down there. And I was involved with singles ministry down there. I was helping to do that at the church in New Orleans where I was at. And we used to go on several summers in a row. We went to Florida to do scuba diving, just open water scuba diving in Panama City. And this particular trip that with the singles ministry, with singles group, we said, let's try underwater cave diving. So we got a map of some of the underwater caves in the panhandle of Florida, and six of us, and we took off to this one that looked particularly interesting. So went down to this place, myself and Chris, another guy who's experienced in underwater cave diving. We went in to check it out and went down in this sinkhole and came down and narrowed down to a foot and a half diameter opening. We kind of squeezed our way through that little opening. And it opened up into a huge room, and we had settled down to the bottom of this huge room. And as soon as we did, our fins stirred up all the fines that were on the bottom of this, on the floor of this huge underwater room. And the visibility went from like 35, 40 foot down to 2 feet. So it just got extremely dark, and Chris came right up to my mask. And
this is all underwater, right?
It's all underwater.
And
is this
with scuba gear on?
With scuba gear on, okay. Yep. So he gives me the thumbs up, and I shake my head. And after we had been looking around for, about 20 minutes, so he turned one way, and I turned the other way, and that's the last I saw of Chris. And I looked around for this opening in the ceiling of this huge room, and I could not find it, and I came all the way up to within probably about 2 minutes of air left, and I just settled down to the bottom, and I said, Lord, I know it's my time to go, but I feel you have something more for me. And I said, if you get me out of this underwater cave, I'll do anything you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I prayed that prayer, the Holy Spirit just told me, I remember it, just go up, follow your bubbles, go up. And when I prayed that prayer, I was right underneath that foot and a half opening. And I went up about 30 foot to the ceiling, went through the hole, got lighter and lighter. I remember by the time I got to the surface, I was kind of pulling the air out of my regulator, because it's in the red on the pressure gauge. And I just burst through the surface of the water in that sinkhole and ripped out my regulator. And that's the greatest breath of air I'd ever breathed. And I asked the other four guys that were at the top at the surface. They say, where's Chris? Did he come up? No, he didn't come up yet. So grabbed another tank, went down, and I found the lifeline. The people that had mapped it years earlier went in, and I came to a certain point, and I could hear Chris tapping on his tank, but it was like my hand was frozen to this lifeline. And I went further in, and he got quieter, and then I came back to that same spot, and by that time that tank was used up, so I came out and got a third tank, and this is like over an hour later. And the third time I went in, he was still very slowly tapping on his tank, which is what you're supposed to do when you're lost, but I couldn't let go of that tank. And so we called the police. Cave diving rescue team came. There's three of them. They went in. One of the dive rescue people almost lost his life, and so they came out, and we had basically given up. So we went back to the sheriff's house, the five of us, that night. Well, we called the people that had mapped it up in Georgia. They'd mapped it, so they came down the next morning. But that night, I had one of the guys, one of the diving team that was with us, the singles guy from the church. He said, I'm going to Africa, going to Zimbabwe, and on a missions trip. And he said, what we really need is someone to drill wells. Well, I had, with Shell Oil, I had been, drilling 15, 20,000-foot oil wells in the Gulf. And I knew that God was just saying, hey, this is why I got you out of the cave. Instead of drilling oil wells, I want you to go to Africa. And so I told the guy, I said, yeah, I'll go. And I told the Lord, I said, I had said, if you get me out of this cave, I'll do anything you want me to do. And so ended up going to Africa, Zimbabwe, drilled a bunch of wells, went to West Africa, all of the Southern Baptists. And as a single, I drilled about 200 wells and did church planting work as well, and came back on furlough and met my wife, Rhonda, my lovely wife. And
Husbandry 101, you're getting some good grades with that.
Absolutely. And we had two children, two wonderful boys, Isaac and Joshua. So about a year ago or so, the four of us went over to Kenya just to kind of check out the family. You know, how does this all fit together, you know, with the family going over to Africa to do water wells and church work. And this particular trip that I'm leaving on Wednesday, I will be going by myself this time for 2.5 weeks. But we're going to do some water. I'm going to do some water work over there with water wells in eastern Kenya.
Hey, I'm going to kind of digress a little because I want to have you take us back to the cave, because the question
sure.
I had is, how was the other individual's tank able to hold on? If you had to go back and get two more tanks, how was he able to still tap in his tank to work?
He apparently was breathing in his rebreather, and as it turned out, Chris died in the cave. The team came in the next morning that had mapped it, and I told him where I'd heard that sound, and they went in and got his body, and we had it was a closed casket funeral for Chris. But I just, God, you know, who knows why, you know, and why Chris was taken home. He was a Christian, and God had something more for me, you know, to do. And but it was, I thank God every day, wake up and I'm breathing.
Yeah.
I just want to serve him and use the gifts in geology and hydrology and engineering, you know, for his glory. And
Can you share with us, Dean, maybe just some of what's gone into this year in particular? You know, I want to share just a line from your wife, and you both sent out an email update this morning ahead of your trip getting ready to go to Africa, and you said in it says, it's our prayer to follow God's leading in our life, even when it's not as we had planned.
Exactly. We had thought that there's an organization, I guess I can mention the name of the organization, CMF, that we were going to go full-time with CMF, and it just didn't work out. And we got into fundraising, and it just wasn't coming together. You know, I'd share the what God's calling me to do, and, you know, I don't know if it's difficulty with the economy or what, but what we thought, you know, the traditional quote-unquote missions where the whole family goes and we park in one particular place and drill water wells and do church planting, kind of like I did as a single with Southern Baptist, but with it just didn't work out. And what God is leading me to do is go on, at least for now, is to go on short-term trips like this one to eastern Kenya and help out with water projects, you know, for 2.5 weeks. And it appears that for now, God just has me going and Rhonda holding down the fort here in Mahomet, you know, trying to help different groups with different water problems in different places in Africa. That's what we feel God is calling us to do right now.
And that really, you know, I think maybe even a year ago, you know, and I've known you about a year, but even in a tentative steps of our relationship, you had expressed to me kind of this vision of digging water wells and doing this mission, but with a real emphasis on disciple making. And so I'd love for you to share your heart on that, because when I look at where God has brought this mission to, it lines up with that heart you shared with me 11 months ago. So maybe you could talk about that.
Well, what I love to do, I love Bible study, and I just love digging into the Word, and I go through this chronologic Bible, and I just love it, and I love when I was over in Africa before the single, in the church planting, we would just start, you know, I would encourage the local pastors, and help to start new churches through starting Bible studies. And God has just given me a hunger for studying the Bible, and I want to share that with other people, help them catch the vision of Bible study and coming to know the Lord, and as I do through studying His Word. And that's what I have a passion for. I love Bible study, and I want to share that with other people, share that excitement, and help train pastors over there in Africa and get them on fire.
So how do you take Bible study and digging wells and put those together?
What I see is God has me to share living water, which is His word, and share about Christ, the living water, kind of the Samaritan woman at the well story in John 4, and how He, you know, was talking about physical water, And then that moved, discussion with the Samaritan woman moved to spiritual water. And Christ told her everything that she ever did, as she said. And she went, and then she in turn went and told the people in her village about Jesus. And then the people in the village, they wanted to come and see Jesus for themselves. And I think, you know, that idea of sharing physical water with people that are suffering, that don't have water to drink, don't have clean water to drink, and that a lot of kids are dying because of the dirty water. And so I want to share that. When I was in Liberia, I was in a Muslim area, and the imams, the mosque, they didn't want me there, but they saw that I was, you know, we provide water, and the kids would start living instead of a third of them dying before their age five. Before age five, they started living, and so eventually, instead of being antagonistic toward me, the leaders of the mosques in the villages, they said, "Come and drill a well in our village. We won't let you. We're not going to let you talk to the adults, but you can talk to the kids." And now, the years later, now the kids, I get emails and calls from some of the kids over there in Liberia that now they're the church leaders. Hmm. Those kids that the imams would let me talk to and have songs and Sunday school and stuff like that, now they're leading the churches. And what they meant to just as a, you know, a way to kind of shut me up and have me give them water, now Christ is using that for them to be the church leaders.
It reminds me of a quote during the Iraqi conflict. Colin Powell made this quote, and I couldn't find it. I just tried to find it real quick, but I'll get it out of my memory bank. He said, "If you want to win the war on terror, you don't win it with tanks and bombs and bullets. You win it by tackling the war on poverty." Because Colin Powell said, you can't, that there's not a kid who will readily accept a gun and go and kill somebody if you've just given him a cup of water, you just built him a school, or you just fed him a meal. And that's what some of those in Africa, especially from what am I reading, and you could probably speak into this, but that's how they do it. I mean, they offer these kids food, they offer that, and then they hand them the AK-47 at the same time.
Exactly.
And say, "Now there's the enemy, go kill him."
Yep.
And if we're there and we're offering water, I mean, what a basic resource, something that we take for granted. We let the tap flow sometimes longer than it should.
Mm-hmm.
And that water, I mean, Colin Powell, a man of war, said that cup of water can be the thing that brings peace.
Yep.
Hey, Dean, I also want to point out, because we only have a couple minutes left, and
sure.
One of the reasons of taping this program in order for our listeners to connect with you, because at this point on Friday, you're going to be in Nairobi, Kenya, working on the short-term mission experience. But
right.
I wanted to inform them of your trip. You'll leave on Wednesday. You have
right.
left at this point. You left on Wednesday, but how we can most effectively pray for you. So in the last, 2 minutes, we want to know how to pray for you, and then other closing remarks you want to inform our listeners about.
Very good. You can pray. What I'll be doing is going and meeting with different pastors and seeing the need for water in the different villages, at the churches and schools and stuff like that, and pray that I would be able to make the connections that I need to make with the people that have the water needs, as well as the pastors in those villages with the water needs, and pray that it would be successful. We're also putting a pump, installing a pump in one of the wells that's been drilled, but there's no pump in it. So that's the first thing that we're going to be doing. And then we're hopefully, if possible, drilling a well while we're there in the Kitui district in east of Nairobi. Pray that we would be able to do that, fix that one well with the pump, and potentially do a new well, water well. And also the people that, as far as the water survey that I need to do in eastern Kenya, that I would be able to connect with the right people, that God would just show me who I need to talk to, and that I could finish this water survey for future work that we need to do, meaning the water needs.
And you're doing this missions trip and this thing that you're being called to solely by faith, because as my understanding is,
right.
you're taking the 2 weeks off of work. I mean, there'll be no income kind of coming
right.
into your household, and you're just saying, "Hey, God is going to provide for this." And I just want to offer right now for our radio listeners that to, number one, pray for Dean. I mean, I think I even sent an email this morning saying, "I'm not asking you for a provision. What I'm asking you and what I'm pleading for you to do is to pray for Dean and pray for Rhonda." And then I want to also offer that anytime I've ever prayed for somebody in that capacity, God has prompted my heart to provide. So if there's anybody out there who would like to help provide in this water ministry, or would help to, like to partner with Dean and Rhonda in bringing clean water, the most basic of necessities, to people in the world, you can contact the church at 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165. Or communityfreechurchofmahomet@gmail.com. communityfreechurchofmahomet@gmail.com, and we would connect you into their missionary fund and ways that you can give support and be a part of this ministry as they bring clean water to the world.
And if you couldn't get that information written down, just call the station, 217-367-7777, and Karen will be happy to direct you on how to support Dean, not only through prayer, but financially. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Dean, we got to go, and we're going to be praying you up, knowing that at this point in the program, you'll be serving in that mission capacity in Africa. So thanks for being available.
Thank you, Mark. A shout out
for FedEx allowing you to be available during this time.
Thank you. And thank you, Jason, too, for all the support at Community Free that you guys have given to.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, as mentioned, Jason and I recorded that conversation with Dean just a few days ago, because at this point he's in Kenya, so please be sure to be praying him up. And if you want to financially be involved, and what a great project to partner with to bring about needed water along with the knowledge of the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can call the Community Evangelical Free Church at 217-586-5165 or email them at communityfreechurchofmahomet@gmail.com. For those of you that were tuned in yesterday, you heard a little two-minute announcement. Jim Hecker, who I featured on Mark and Friends June 1st, just a few weeks ago, and the program was titled Jim Hecker, Days or Months to Live, What Would You Do? Jim went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday. And a few days ago, I received an email from Larry from Fairmont, Illinois, that said, Mark, in case you haven't heard, Jim Hecker passed away this morning, Tuesday. He will be missed at our church, and he was also in my Sunday school class at Calvary Baptist, where he will be greatly missed also. I know you interviewed Jim back on June 1st. His outlook on whether he was going to live or die was amazing then, and I'm sure it did not change right up until the time he entered his new eternal home with Jesus. Thanks for the candid interview with him, as it was very encouraging. Jim was a great guy to have in our Sunday school class, and I will miss him. Thanks for your great work at Great News Radio, Larry. That powerful testimony and program, along with today's interview with Dean, is archived at greatnewsradio.org. So stop by and have a listen, or listen again, or copy it into an email and paste it and mail it on to a friend. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.